understand, about 18 or 20 of them. That's quite a few to leave us. I know they're going to have a tremendous time, especially when you have a time of fellowship and seminar like that. Always blesses one's heart. I was up there recently with the brethren out of Nassau, and we had a tremendous time as well. 2 Kings 6, and the sons of the prophets, now these weren't children, they were men, but they were preachers' sons. They said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight, too narrow, too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. That's nice, you know, they wanted the company of the preacher. They wanted the preacher to go with him, Elisha, the great man of God. And they were so content to have him to be with them on this particular journey. And then he went with them, and they when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was cutting a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master. It was alarmed, you see, it was saddened, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. That amazing. That is a miracle. Iron swimming. Contrary to the laws of a mineral like that, floating. You know, it swam. Didn't just float. It swam. And then he said, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and he took it. After he put that stick into that water, and that iron swam, he said, I want you to take it up now. And he put out his hand and took it. May the Lord bless the reading of that short passage. Now, I'm not going to wear this for very long, but I wore a red shirt tonight, and I brought my axe. And you would call me if I was out there cutting trees. Now, don't get worried, okay? If I was out there cutting trees, you would call me a what? Huh? I hear a little grumbling down here. A lumberjack. That's what I would be. A man of the timber. I tell you, it's a lot of that done in the world today. Well, that's what they were doing. But in this particular case, of course, the man had borrowed the axe. And in those days, of course, the axe was sharp, but a little different than this. Sometimes they had a point on the other end, for the simple reason is they used it for two purposes, not just for cutting wood, but they also used it in battle. So the axe had sort of what we call twofold or dual purpose, you see. One in warfare, and the other, of course, to cut down timber. But here is this young man, son of a preacher, and he was cutting away. Well, what he didn't realize was, well, first of all, getting a little ahead of myself. The first thing is, they wanted to make themselves a dwelling at a particular place. They wanted a place where they can what? Dwell in. Let me tell you, young people, I want to suggest to you tonight, the best place to dwell in is the house of God. I call it the house of God, the chapel, to hear the word of the Lord. You want a place where you can come and worship. You want a place where you can hear God's word. Even your private devotion. You've heard a lot of preaching on that lately. But you need a place where you can just read God's word and pray. Do you get alone and pray? You say, well, I pray in my bedroom where there's no noise, no distraction. I close the door, and that's where I have a time with God, my private time with God. I hope you have a private time with God. It's very important in your Christian life. But then, of course, you need to meet in a place with God's people. Because that's what the Bible says. You're not to forsake yourself, or the assembling, rather, of yourselves together, as so many people are doing. You don't want to be separated. You don't want to stay home and watch television or spend all the time on the internet and have no interest in the Word of God or coming here to the chapel where God's people are to hear the Word. A good place to be in, right? One amen. Good place to be in, right? Sure, sure. All right, now let's get back to our wood cutting. I can see that young man out there chopping away, everybody cutting a beam down. But what he didn't realize was that the axe was loose. Dangerous, dangerous, very dangerous. Accidents can happen by being loose in my life as a Christian. For our lives as Christians is very dangerous, you see. You can't afford loose living. You can't afford to, well, other people are doing, I don't know why I can. You ever heard that before? You know, Mama, I don't know why I can't stay out at 12 o'clock. Miss so-and-so lets her children out 12 o'clock. Have you heard that before? Oh, some of our young people have a tough time. And they all want to stay out 12 o'clock. But it doesn't work that way. You got a mama who loves you, and she's wise. She said, 10 o'clock, you'll be here. You can't afford to be loose. I'm glad Wayne called on that first hymn. Wasn't it good, the words of that hymn? Very, very wise. About companionship. And, of course, I know that but with the right company, it's always profitable, it's always good, but you got to be very careful in the world. And by the way, not just young people, all of us, preachers included, we cannot afford to be loose in our life, morally, spiritually. Can't even afford to be loose physically. Now, I'm nearly 75. I'm coming apart. I feel loose tonight. My ankles are hurting. My two shoulders are killing me. I'm really loose that way, physically speaking. But however, my heart is happy, rejoicing in the Lord. And so then, be careful. If you want to have a nice cutting edge in life, that is to really be effective for God and be the person you want to be with the Lord, make sure that your life is not loose. Like that poor fellow chopping away, and he didn't realize that it was loose. So when it slipped off, then it became what? Not just loose, it became useless. You can't chop with wood. You think you can chop a tree down with a handle? Can you? Cason? No. No, you can't chop it down with the wood. It was useless. Fell off, you see. And so God reminds us how important it is that our life really tell for Him. You've got to have some purpose in life, some direction. And God says He will give you direction. He will give you a purpose in life. If you really need to ask the Lord for guidance in your life day by day so that you'll make the right decisions in life. All right, it was loose. Now it's in the bottom of the river. It was useless. It was lost. Another word we can use. It was lost, not just loose. Oh, that's sad. I don't know your heart. When we say lost, what do we mean? Simply means that you're not a Christian. You've never really accepted the Lord Jesus in your heart. He died for us, and we know that. That's why we preach the gospel the way we do. It is important to know that Christ died in your place. You see, God isn't against you. He's for you. That is the reason why He gave the best gift that heaven could afford, the darling of His heart. Christ came into the world not to condemn you or to condemn us, but that we through Him might be, if it's lost, might be what? Saved. Good word. Good Bible word. Don't ever be afraid of it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, what? Saved. So it's a good word. But this poor axe head now was lost. Ask yourself in your heart tonight, Am I saved or am I lost? Very, very important. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. Now comes the next point. The young man came to the preacher, came to the prophet Elisha, and he was so upset, and he said, alas! In fact, the word alas is mentioned several times in that chapter, if you read it. And he said, alas, master. He was so sad, you see. Alas, master, it was borrowed. It was borrowed. And so the thing was loaned to him. So you see what the next point is? First of all, he didn't know, but it was loose. Then it was lost. It was useless down in the bottom of the river. And then it was loaned. He realized the axe wasn't his at all. Like a lot of my tools, they're loaned and lost. And never seen them since. They're gone. Brother Barron, you have that problem? Well, it's all right. We just go out and buy another one. But however, it was loaned, you see. It was not his. Now, young people, this is very important. You must remember that your life is not really your own. Did you know that? God loaned you your life. And it's on loan to you for just a certain length of time. I hate to mention this, really. I take it back. I find it difficult to mention that. Now, the word hate, I shouldn't use that word. But we've lost a lot of people, young people, middle-aged people, old people. And their life was loaned to them, 20 years maybe. Like my little boy, our little boy, the Lord loaned him to us for 4 years. But we're happy. You know why? Because we know where he is. He's in heaven. He is with the Lord. You know? And when we get home to heaven, little Clifford's not going to be 4 years old. He's going to be an adult. And he's going to be like the Lord Jesus. You know? And I can't imagine what it's going to be. I'm so excited to meet the Lord Jesus, but I'm looking forward to the day when I see Cliff again. I have joy in my heart because of that. But the Lord loaned little Cliff to us for just 4 years. 4 years. Oh, he was so unique. I tell all my children, that it didn't look like he was for this world. You know, it really didn't. If he was one of the finest little fellas, I mean, obedient. I've seen a time the sisters would come down and make sandwiches and he'd sit up on the chair. Mama would say, Miss Emily would say, now you sit there, Cliff. Don't move. And he sat there and he watched and he listened to the women. You know how women can talk when they're making sandwiches? Not bad, but they were having a good time and good Christian fellowship. And he'd just take it all in, you know, sit there. And they finished. And sometime Miss Emily would forget to say, okay, you could get down now. He's 4 years of age. Now that's the way he was. He wouldn't move off the chair until she said, okay, you can get down and play now. You could do what you want. And that he was so obedient, and he'd run to the door and he'd fuss Mark out and Susanna out because they didn't come in time for lunch. And he said, Mama said, you ought to have been here. You're late. You're late. And he was only 4 years of age. But you know something? Like I said, we have joy in our hearts because the Lord loaned him to us for 4 years. Now let's talk about ourselves for a moment. You don't know, neither do I, how many years the Lord has loaned you life. Okay? You don't know. So since our life is on loan, what we should do is really use a life for the glory of God. I'm not saying everybody got to be a preacher and everybody got to do this. No. But there's something that God wants every child of his to do. These men were chopping wood to build a house. They were helping in different other areas too. Believe me, they were. But the thing is this. They were active. They were doing something. do something for God. You're not too young to realize, first of all, that your life is loaned to you. And thank God the prophet did something wonderful when he cut the stick or branch or whatever it was, and he threw it into the river, and the iron swam. The stick is a beautiful picture of Calvary. The tree of life. Who's the tree of life? The Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And so he threw the tree of life into the river, and the iron came up. The iron was lifted. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus does when you let him come into your heart. He lifts you up, and he seats you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1. Remember that song, Praising God Because Jesus Lifted Me? Remember that? Beautiful hymn. And so the Lord will lift you. He will lift you up in life, give you a good standing before men. You won't be perfect. I've been trying to be perfect now for 75 years. It's a struggle. But I'm me. But I know one thing, Christ in me is perfect. You see, the new nature in you is perfect. One of these days, when we get no more battles, no more attacks by the devil, no more battles of the flesh, you are going to be perfect because you're going to be lifted into the very presence of God, into heaven itself. And you're going to get a new body, likened unto his glorious body. Isn't it wonderful? We've got a lot going for us. And so let's go over our little axe again, our lesson for tonight. First thing about the axe head, what was wrong with the axe head? Brady, what was wrong with the axe head? It was loose. Very good. Very good. Uncle Mark, give him $5. All right. Second thing was, he was chopping away, and what happened? It fell off. And it was down in the riverbed, and it became what? Useless, right? Lifeless, useless. You could use any words you want. There it was down there of no use at all. Thirdly, it was lost, okay? And then it was what? He realized, alas, master, it was borrowed, though it was loaned. And lastly, it was when he threw the stick into the river, it was what? Lifted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You did very well tonight. Really enjoyed your response. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you're not a Christian, we sing a little chorus often, and you want to join in, only sing it though if you mean it. And may God bless you. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Fathers, we bow in your presence tonight. We thank you for your precious word. And we thank you for the glorious truth that Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, came into this world, or to this world. And he gave himself there in Calvary. Oh God, our prayer is indeed that you bless our coming together this evening. We thank you for every person here. And we thank you, Lord, the liberty we have in being able to share the gospel, share the word with every person. And so we pray, Lord, that you'll bless our coming together. And remember again those that are away from us. We commend them to your care and your love, that they might truly know the joy of your presence. Remember our aged and our shut-ins who cannot get out anymore. Remember the cancer victims, patients who are really hurting tonight. Oh, God, draw near to their hearts. Fill them with your love and uphold them by your grace. Remember the bereaved families. We Pray, O God, for each one that they might be comforted, especially those who have loved ones that have gone out of this life, but into the presence of the Lord. We pray that you indeed encourage the folk that are left behind. For we pray it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Good night. God bless you.